Welcome to the Happy Place podcast. I'm Rina, your host. I'm a Shibari artist, tantric body worker, former dominatrix, and extreme sports athlete. I guide people to their core, creating safe spaces for healing and self-discovery. Since childhood, I've challenged societal norms. Through extreme sports, tantra, unconventional sexuality, and psychedelics, I've discovered profound truths. This podcast is for seekers like me, exploring meaning and spiritual illumination in the midst of life's intensity. Get ready to be inspired, amazed, and transformed as we unravel the mysteries of the happy place. And welcome to episode number 27. And today we are exploring adventure sports. I have my own opinion on that. I highly recommend people to dive into this or fly into this or ride into this, whichever mode, whichever activity or action you get to choose. I find that there are very deep, profound, and impressive benefits that one can derive from it. I'm sharing it from my own experience as well as from experience of many others, as I'm surrounded by extreme sports athlete, and I've been an athlete myself since I was 15 years old when I tried skydiving for the first time. It's one of the first episodes of this podcast. It's about my first skydive when I was still a teenager back in Russia, and my skydiving evolved over the years. Now I have 1600 skydive, and I also pursued base jumping. Base is an acronym for building antenna, span, and earth, which means that you jump off a stable object with a parachute. And eventually I started wingsuit base. Wingsuit base is when you are flying a so-called squirrel suit, wingsuit, a gliding kind of suit that allows you to not just free fall, but actually to fly, to glide, to become an airplane yourself. And this gives you a minute or two to fly off an object and then open parachute and land safely. And I also pursued proximity base, which is allowing myself to fly really close to an object. So I jump off an object, I fly, and then I approach another object or the same one that I jumped off and give myself this glimpse of almost touching, almost hitting, almost there, like really passing the cliff or a tree with a really high speed, and then flying away to open my parachute safely. I also tried rock climbing and free diving, scuba diving. I used to be a scuba diver, and now I'm pursuing free diving and also snowboarding. So surfing was my least explored sport, although I did try it. Pretty much whatever extreme sport you can imagine, I've done it, I've been there, I've tried it. It's been my passion, and definitely not without consequences. I did break bones here and there. And at the same time, looking back in the past and contemplating, like, yeah, if I knew that I will be going through all the challenges of dark side of the sports, right? In their mentally and physically recovering, losing friends, you know, extreme sports is when you're seeing your friends die. The question is whether will I choose to do it all over again? And the answer is yes, because the benefits are far greater. Now, I'm not here to encourage you to start risking your life. There is a lot more to it than just the blind risk. So in this podcast episode, I'd like to explore with you why extreme sports, why people pursuing it, what do they find? Is it all about being an adrenaline junkie? It's a very common notion of extreme sports. You know how easy it is to put a sticker or a label when you don't know, right? And the label for extreme sports athletes is, we're all adrenaline junkies. And I'd like to challenge this notion here with you and share the benefits that are psychological and spiritual, the benefits that are transformational, that are helping to change life for the better. What are the lessons that one can learn from it? I'm so happy to share this with you to inspire you, but also to inform you, because ultimately you are the one to make your conscious decision. And again, it's really not about taking a major life-threatening risk. It's actually about risking wisely, because there is always a way to calculate how much risk are you ready to take and what is the reward of that? What is the reason for that? So just like in previous episodes, I explored Tantra when it comes to connecting with sexuality and BDSM and psychedelics. Similarly, extreme sports can be practiced mindfully. So let me start from that right away. What is mindful practice of extreme sports? Well, first of all, being informed. And it kind of makes sense, right? If you're trying to go for some life-threatening activity, you might as well learn about it more. And yet, in the reality, as I've been surrounded by extreme sports athletes of different circles, I have to tell you, it's not the case. People are doing it quite blindly without learning first, without understanding, without making conscious and intentional choice. So first, educate yourself. What are you getting involved into and why are you ultimately doing this? As when I started extreme sports, I was not conscious why I'm doing this. And I made a lot of choices that were really driven by wrong motives, right? By motives to show off, to prove something to someone, or to compete with others. And I see it all over the place. And extreme sports do have a bad reputation because of that unconscious element. And in fact, there is this classic movie, Point Break. Well, the first version of it, the old ones, and that was done in the 90s with Keanu Reeves. It wasn't the best version, and yet it was really beautiful and inspiring, sharing the spirit, the depth of motivation of extreme sport athletes, of surfers and skydivers. And the second one was a little more shallow, depicting extreme sports athletes as just kind of drugs and rock and roll and women kind of guys who were completely party oriented, just numbing themselves and doing something crazy and just throwing themselves into some wild adventure without checking in or thinking. So it definitely has that reputation, and it's not far from truth. I definitely see it all around. And in fact, there is one reason why I'm separating myself these days from skydiving community, although I've been so surrounded by skydivers all my life. I've dated skydivers. That was my place to hang out, to reach out for help. It was definitely my home, my playground, my community. But the reason I'm separating myself from that these days is, unfortunately, the community as a whole has a lot of unhealthy habits, unhealthy eating, unhealthy drug consumptions, and using substances during the skydives, and just kind of not being conscious about the risk they take, not being intentional, really having this machismo bravado, like, yay, I'm cool, we can do it all. And yeah, lacking that element of being conscious. And I definitely love skydiving, and I definitely don't want to judge all athletes in the sport, because of course there are different people. And at the same time, we cannot avoid the community effect. And the community at large has that burger, beer, give me some drugs, give me some booze, let's do something stupid and crazy kind of energy. And that's really what pushed me away. And I know there is another way of doing it, and I really hope that one day skydiving will start shifting gears into a more conscious direction, and there will be more conscious communities of skydivers who are doing it a bit more mindfully. And yet there is a way to cultivate it yourself by not allowing the community or the peer pressure to drive your choices, but to first connect to yourself. So just like in any other subjects we explore on this podcast, and this is what's done really in the name of Tantra, and I just love Tantra so much for that reason. It's all about first connecting to yourself and checking in with yourself and really asking, what is your... Steven Kotler, and he wrote the book The Rise of Superman, Decoding the Science of Ultimate Human Performance. It's a very science-based book which finds scientific ways of explaining that high, that state of flow that extreme sports athletes are looking for. So this is where he shares that it's not about adrenaline. There is a certain cocktails of neurochemicals the brain releases during the state of flow: norepinephrine, dopamine, endorphins, anandamide, and serotonin. Now, when I read the book, I had no idea, and I just knew how it feels. And that's exactly where he finds ways to describe the sensation. What is the flow state feels like? Well, first of all, it's a very high performance state. The state of flow is the state where we can achieve something we could never imagine. And there is one quote from the book that I can share with you that describes it pretty well. When our sense of self out of the way, we are liberated from doubt and insecurity. When time is gone, there is no yesterday to regret or tomorrow to worry about. And when our sense of space disappears, so do physical consequences. And while all three vanish at once, something far more incredible occurs. Our fear of death, that most fundamental of all fears, can no longer exist. Simply put, if you are infinite and atemporal, you cannot die. Now that sounds like a spiritual experience, doesn't it? That sounds like what meditation practitioners are seeking. That's what people on psychedelic experiences describing. And this is what unites us all. This is a description of a peak experience. And peak experience is really what we're all after. We just find it in a different way. We can find it through sexuality. We can find it through certain substances. And we can go to Himalayas and meditate. And we can do certain breath work to achieve that state of being. We can explore BDSM realms of power exchange. We can find it with pain. We can find it with pleasure. What unites us? Well, what really unites us is that we are getting out of our own way, which means we're getting out of our minds. The flow state is not a mental state. This is when our prefrontal cortex is taking a break. So our thinking produces a lot of complexity and ultimately a lot of confusion. Happiness is not found through thinking. Flow is the opposite of thinking. To reach flow state, the cortex has to be temporarily deactivated. So, as you can see, there is a lot of parallels between the spiritual journey as well as the journey of extreme sports athlete. And the state of flow is ultimately achieved in the present moment. And another word that Stephen Kotler is using as a synonym of flow is ecstasy. And ecstasy only arises when attention focused is on a present moment, right? So, and then there is a risk, right? There is this reward of reaching that ultimate high, perfect high, state of flow, state of oneness, unity with the universe, and then there is a risk. And in a way, one might think that athletes are interested in greatest risk. And this is also one of the myths about extreme sports, that it's all about greatest risk. And yeah, it has some truth in it. Sometimes they're taken and sometimes they're not. But those physical risks are a byproduct of a much deeper desire to take creative risk. Don't be fooled by the danger. In action or adventure sport, creativity is always the point. Or in other words, state of flow produces creative thinking. This is where novelty is reached. This is where innovation is happening. And this is how we can translate it into our daily lives, because what most of us are really desiring is more novelty in our ways of being, in our ways of doing things. We don't want to recycle the same ways that we learned in our family, in our tradition. We don't want to repeat meeting same guy over and over again, or going from one job to another just to find ourselves in the same situations. Many humans are really trying to get out of their loops that are outdated. And the only way out is when we're out of our mind, when our way of looking at things is changed. And flow state is really what allows us to break through some old cycles. And peak experiences are ultimately very healing experiences, because this is where we are able to let go of something that happened in the past, to find new ways of looking into situations, and to experience joy, happiness, and gratitude for just being here, being alive. So sharing from my personal experience, I can go for one base jump that I did. There was a jump that I did from a tower, and it was late night, and I was jumping from an antenna in Maryland in the middle of nowhere, full moon night, a bunch of weird friends from the community who wanted to do this in the middle of the night, jump that tower with a parachute, and intensely scary, terrifying. And I already had some really bad experience where I almost died in the previous jump from the same tower. And somehow in my mind, I always fantasized of coming back to the same tower and conquering it and have a beautiful experience jumping it. And there I found myself climbing the tower first. There was this old rusty ladder for construction workers, and it's nighttime, and there are like lights that are indicating the boundaries of tower for airplanes. And here we are doing this jump, which is technically illegal, really dangerous, life-threatening. And before that jump, my life was unbearable for the last few days at least. I was in some really bad situation in my relationship. Things were really stuck. I felt trapped. I wanted to be with this person, but I couldn't be because we were not compatible at all. And I felt so miserable. I just didn't want to leave. I just didn't want to exist. I felt completely stuck, overwhelmed, confused, frustrated beyond any measure, and not knowing what to do with this and how to live with this, and feeling extremely miserable. And then there I am climbing this tower, and this is where my reflections start to blossom. I started to look at it and realize how futile, how insignificant my worries are compared to what's about to happen, because I can kill myself right now. And it's a matter of seconds, because the bottom, like if I jump from that tower before I hit the ground, it's like 5 to 6 seconds. And I have to act fast when it comes to separating myself from a tower, tracking away from it for the next couple of seconds, then opening my parachute and landing. It's a really intense and quick action mode. And I have to be precise and perfect, because there is no forgiveness for mistakes there. Cannot slip off. I cannot. Many things can go wrong. My parachute can open in the direction of the tower, or it can take too much time to open, or not open at all. And so many things that can really go wrong. So there is definitely risk. And then there is also desire to jump it. And this is what I'm contemplating. Like, why do I do this to myself? What's wrong with me? Why do I need to jump that freaking tower at night? I'm having second thoughts, confusion, regrets. I'm going through this ordeal within myself, questioning my action, questioning my life, questioning my relationship situation. And while it happens, and while I'm going through that struggle, and at the same time, it's a physical challenge of climbing that ladder for 300 meters, 900 feet tower. It's an hour worth of climbing that ladder. And that was the moment that I went through, got out on the other side of the struggle. And that moment, all my worries, all my concerns, all that relationship drama, all this money pursuits, power pursuit, desire to be cool, like all of those things that were important in my life, all of a sudden they got deactivated. And I started to feel so acutely alive. And I started to feel so much love just for being alive. And then there are friends who are climbing silently the same tower. And I started to feel so much compassion for them. I started to see way beyond my limited desires to prove myself right, to survive, to become successful, to prove something in my relationship. I started to feel love and compassion for those people. I started to feel and wish them sincerely that they will be well in this jump, that they will do it well. And I decided to encourage them, and I decided to say some sweet words while we are climbing, that it's going to be a beautiful jump and we will have such a great time once we land, just to say something sweet and positive towards them. And as I kept on climbing, like, there was a moment that I acknowledged that I no longer care if I die or not. There was like a sense that death will happen anyway. And what really matters is me feeling that state right now, the state of aliveness, the state of gratitude, that ultimate presence, like feeling that letter in my fingers, that rusty letter, and I'm climbing, feeling my muscles, feeling my body, crying tears of release, feeling this joyful Buddha smile on my face, realizing that I'm deathless and everything will be all right, and having that unlimited trust in life, knowing there is something way greater that guides me, that I'm just a character in divine book, and something is writing through me, something is expressing through me. It was definitely a spiritual experience. It was experience of forgiving myself and letting go of my concerns and frustration with my boyfriend and his child and my friend, and there were all these people that created drama in my life, or I created drama, or all of this drama had no substance anymore. It was just gone. It was no longer meaningful and important. And all I felt is love. That's love with a capital letter L, for myself, for the world, for the present moment. And every step on that ladder felt magnificent. And we finally made it to the top of the tower. And then I realized there's this one guy who actually came here thinking that he's encouraged by me as my student. Like, of course, I was nowhere near to be instructor in this sport. I was also exploring and pretty new to it, but he was even more new. And this is the moment that I look at him as like, wow, I really want him to have a beautiful jump. And I started to encourage him and share my love and gratitude. And also, like, looking at these people around, there was three guys with me, and they were all different people, and they came from different backgrounds, statuses, and, you know, they had different life situations, careers, and a different age, you know, different social situation. And all of a sudden, none of that mattered. We were together in this. It was this sense of togetherness and unity with one another, that it felt like we were like-minded souls. We were soulmates in this moment. And there was no separation. Nothing was making one of us better or worse, or cooler or smarter or more rich, more anything. There was no more comparison. It was just unity. And I remember I let others jump first, and just to encourage and shout out that it's going to be great, and then watching my jumping body, like his legs shaking as he stands on that railing, and there are wires going in two directions, and we need to jump right between those wires and fly away from that tower for like a couple of seconds before opening the parachute, and like watching my friend's like legs shaking as he pushes himself off, and then he watching his body is like going in completely wrong position, and I'm watching him like, and he disappears in a darkness, and it's just, I'm holding my breath waiting for his parachute, to hear the sound of the parachute, not to hear the sound of a body hitting the ground, but to hear the sound of parachute. And then hearing that sound, and then hearing him scream, that rebirth sound, like he's just born again, and then celebrating it with him, screaming back at him, like having all his joy. And then I'm stuck with my last jumping body, and I say, well, you go jump. And he says, no, I want to support you. You go jump. I want you to jump first. And then I step on that railing, and then I'm no longer afraid. Like, the fear is kind of there, but it's no longer driving force. I feel like this jump is just my way to celebrate life and aliveness and glory of God that created us as such imperfect humans who are striving for unity, oneness, love in such creative way, because ultimately extreme sports is a creativity, is a creative pursuit to access the state of flow. I recommend you to read book of Steven Kotler, because he definitely describes how risk is a rocket ride into the now, because when you're risking, there is no yesterday, there is no tomorrow. You forget all your plans, all your worries, all your sorrows, you leave it all behind. You are really acutely here in the now, in the present, in this moment, in this place. It really lasts. Because once the landing happened, once I landed and I'm safe and all my bodies are safe and we are going to celebrate this jump, like having some wine and just sharing how it felt for all of us, the afterglow is there. And there is a different way of looking at life. There is a different way of looking at the struggles that I've been facing. There is a possibility to change my habits, to take a whole entirely different action, to say I love you to people that I just didn't have courage to say that to them, and to experience this novelty and freshness, juiciness and richness of being alive. And so ultimately this show is to encourage you to get out and try it. And I'm not telling you to go for the riskiest. Not everyone is meant to be a base jumper. But you can skydive, and you can do a tandem skydive, which is incredibly safe. Really, it's not more dangerous than driving your car or motorcycle. Or try freediving. Freediving is one of the safest sports out there. Seriously, after exploring so many extreme sports, I find freediving, when it's done, of course, consciously, mindfully, with the right training, it's really safe. If you're not planning to be a world-class athlete and champion of certain discipline, if you're just doing it for fun and for yourself, it's a very safe sport. I highly recommend you to explore freediving. Freediving is really beautiful. It's going underwater on one breath hold, and it's a really beautiful mode of transporting yourself into the now, into the flow, into oneness and unity with nature. Now, one of the beautiful attributes of extreme sports is connection to nature, right? Most of extreme sports are all about being humbled by nature, but also allowing yourself to cooperate with nature, like surfers riding the wave. And sometimes you are crushed by that wave, and sometimes you get to ride it. It's really humbling. There is a quote that I wanted to share, a surfer, Hamilton describes riding giant waves in his native Hawaii. When you are in that moment, there is no beginning and no end. It's just pure. You are and it is. And that's why we continually seek it out and always search for it and need it. We need to feel alive, to feel complete. Yeah, surfing, freediving, rock climbing, skydiving, skiing, snowboarding, skateboarding. You come up with some new idea. And yet, this is my encouragement to try it out. And what are the benefits? What can you take away from that experience into your everyday life? Well, first of all, after you had courage to jump off that airplane and land and walk away from it and celebrate it, guess what? You can walk away from a job that you hate, from relationship where you feel stagnant, or speak up your needs, desires, and boundaries, perhaps for the first time. Risk yourself, because risking is really what's needed. It's the risk is ultimately at the core of any creative pursuit. When you want to change your life, when you want to try something different, something new, you have to take risk. You have to try doing it differently, right? It's always takes courage to get out of certain autopilot conditioned habits, right? From a identity, from our conditioned identity, from being identified with me being a good girl or me being a good student, me needing to do this and do that. Like there is a certain conditioning behind our action, and when we take risks, this is when it's an opportunity to get out and create a new reality for yourself. And as I work with people, as I see people around, there are a lot of us that are really slaves of our habits, that are afraid of challenging ourselves, that are afraid of taking that trip somewhere in that new destination, or trying this, expressing your sexual fantasy and fulfilling it, or trying a whole new career. There is always that risk that you're not going to make it and it's not going to end well. But guess what? There is something beautiful on the other side of it. And the ultimate failure is never trying. Extreme sports give you courage and motivation to change it, to try something new. The other benefit of risk-taking and adventure sport is acute awareness of a present moment when you come back from that skydive, from that skiing trip. You're different and you start noticing the little things. Like when I have a beautiful, successful landing after a beautiful skydive, this is when I'm starting to notice the grass, the smell of that grass, the flowers underneath me. And I start really appreciating it. And I start to feel gratitude. And I start acknowledging the little details. I remember the base jumps when I land, and this is when I go get my hot chocolate, and that hot chocolate feels so much sweeter. There is this rebirthing moment when you feel like you have this recharge, like your system has been restarted and it feels fresh and it feels new, and you have new ways of connecting with others. You connect with others from a place of freshness. You connect more intimately with your surroundings, with your beloveds, with your friends and family. After completing, or even before going for some risky activity, there is a desire to connect with the loved ones and share with them certain things that we might be afraid to share otherwise, because we are just too habituated in our habits and we think there is life will be eternal. Well, guess what? Life can end any moment. Any moment some accident can happen, either within ourselves and our physical body or externally. World is a dangerous place, and we never know which day will be the last one. So when we leave our life like this is the last day, this is the last moment, we start treating it with a certain energy, certain feeling of sacredness, of this moment is auspicious, and I want to treat it as such. What will I do if this day is my last day? Will I call my mom and tell her something that I always thought of telling her, but I've been postponing? Will I reach out to someone for forgiveness, or will I forgive someone? It's an opportunity to close the loops. It closed the loose ends from the past, something that still feels like it's lingering. It's an opportunity to make a new intentions for life, right? Like a lot of people who survive some diseases that were meant to kill them often share how they realize what is truth and what is bullshit in their life. What is really important? What is meaningful? What is the reason why life is worth living? So when you are on the edge, when you are on the edge of a abyss, when you know that your death can happen in 5 seconds if you just don't do everything right, this is when you are contemplating, why do I live this life? Is my existence just a random thing, or there is something far greater behind it? And this is an opportunity to start finding the answers. And this is a part of spiritual journey. That state of flow is not just a simple adrenaline high. It's that spiritual peak that unites us all. This is the peak where we are looking, that we are all looking for. And it's an opportunity to feel so united, more united than we are divided. It's an opportunity to reconcile the past and embrace the beauty of unknown in the future. It's an opportunity to get humbled by nature itself, to bow down to the mighty, to the almighty, to the glory of godliness, and to find new meaning for your existence. Now, my recommendation for those who are trying to start, to start slowly, to do it mindfully, to combine your extreme sports pursuits with mindfulness, meditation, with slowing down and checking in with yourself, and with care for your body, appreciation for your healthy body that can take you through those actions, those extreme activities that are defying gravity and defying whatever humans could do in the past. Like you, there is always a new wave. There is always that new dimensions that we can reach. And extreme sports athletes are constantly pushing the limits of what's possible for humans. Imagine free divers. The deepest dive is 214 meters, which is like 600 something feet. Can you imagine how our human body can withstand that pressure of the ocean and can stay there without breathing for so long? There is so much that humans can do, and it's really beautiful to discover it. But what I want you to acknowledge is also appreciation for our body, for carrying us through that. So I want you to consider pursuing extreme sports, but doing so mindfully, with awareness, with gratitude, with appreciation, doing it slowly and having a good check for your ego, because your ego can take over and it can create a whole identity around it, that I'm cool, that I'm fearless, that I'm better than others, I'm more courageous, that I want to compete and prove something to someone. It's there. So my way to practice extreme sports is combining it with therapy and combining it with mindfulness practices or spiritual pursuits. I feel like this combination can take you to far deeper depth and can spare you from darker places, psychologically and physically. So I will leave you with that. I really hope this resonated with you. So please reach out to me if you found it inspiring. I'm so curious to hear if whoever listener is already practicing extreme sports or are considering to start practicing it. And yeah, if you enjoyed this episode, please follow me on social media. I will leave some links below. And leave 5-star and a review on Apple Podcasts. This will be really helpful to spread the word about this podcast so more people can benefit from it. And enjoy your day. Bye-bye.